So glad to see all of you today. Praise God. It's such a joy to be able to gather together in His name. Amen. And I do have a title for you today, but before we get into that, I want to tell you how this message came about. I believe it was probably Wednesday morning. It's either Wednesday or Tuesday morning that I woke up really early, and I saw in my spirit. Now, I know people use that term loosely. I had a vision, or I saw this, or whatever, and I'm not talking about a vision, but you know, the Lord speaks to us in our hearts. And when I woke up, I saw these two words. They were just like huge on the inside of me, and it was this: full time. It was full with a hyphen and time. And I knew that the Holy Spirit was talking to me. And what He was saying to me is, you're not full. You're running on empty. You have allowed a lot of things to come in. There's been busy day, you know, the day before, and all these details that we deal with, and not just the day before, days before. And, you know, I'll just, it's true confessions. I'm human. Are y'all human? And I had let things of God slip. I knew I was not putting Him first place. Thoughts had come, you know, temptations to worry about this or that had come, and the Holy Spirit was bringing correction to me. And instead of going arguing and saying, oh no, you know, I prayed in tongues a little bit yesterday. I read my Bible a little bit. I got my devotions in. Instead of arguing with the Holy Spirit on the inside, you know what I did? I said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you love me so much, that you're alerting me. You're alerting me not to try to live this life, do what you've called me to do in my own strength, in my own ability. Thank you. You know, we should be thankful when the Holy Spirit brings correction to us. It's not out of Him trying to be mean. It's because He loves us so very much. Amen. And He wants us to do life full and not empty. So that is the title of my message, Full Time. Amen. And after I prayed about it for a little bit, I knew that He wasn't just talking to me. I believe that this is a word for our church family. Because I know if it's happened to me, I know it's happened to you. I'm not pointing any fingers, but I'm saying that all of us have been there. And I believe what's going to happen today is that we, by the help of the Holy Spirit, are going to stir ourselves up. And every one of us are going to leave this place today a lot fuller than we came in. And even if you say, no, I've had a great week, I'm really full, well, then just top your tank off to overflowing. We can all receive more. Amen. Amen. And also, too, I got to thinking about it. Full time. So when you say full time, a lot of times our thoughts go immediately, you know, to our jobs, to our vocations. And I am thankful for Noah Webster. Now, some of you younger ones in here might say, who in the world is Noah Webster? Well, back in the day, when we were in school, we had to carry a great big huge dictionary around and look up the meaning of the words in the Noah Webster dictionary. Now all you got to do is download an app, and it's real easy to look it up. But that guy was anointed, really. He had to be a believer in some of the definitions. I like Noah Webster. So I often, when the Lord begins to deal with me, I go and look up definitions. So I found this interesting. So this is what he had to say about full time. Generally means doing something as your primary main commitment rather than part time or occasionally. And then, this was interesting, the simple difference between full-time and part-time. Full-time is your main focus, primary commitment. Part-time, reduced hours, secondary commitment. Now, I'm not talking about your career or your employment. I'm talking about our Christian walk today. If you've been hired to work full-time, then be honest and give your employer full-time. Don't cheat them on the hours they're paying you to work. Amen? But again, I'm talking about our relationship with Jesus. No matter what our career is, no matter what our responsibilities are in life, our relationship with Jesus should be first. Loving Him, serving Him, like it said about full-time, should be our primary commitment. First things first. Seeking Him first. We did a series on that a couple of Wednesdays. Seeking first. Being seekers of God. Not letting anything else take the place due to Him. I know there's no one in here today, but I have met some part-time Christians. Serve Jesus when it's convenient. Go to church occasionally. Pray once in a while. Read the Bible, maybe. That's not being a full-time Christian. Years ago, someone shared this with me. They had somebody that told them, they're witnessing to them, talking about being a Christian. And this person said to them, "Oh, well, I'm Christian light." I never forgot that. I'm Christian light. What in the world does that mean? Jesus, the Holy Spirit, are not to be compared to a soda drink. Pepsi Light or Coke Light. You know, I've tasted those. I don't like them. There's something missing. And it's called sugar and caffeine. If you're going to drink it, drink the real deal. You know what I'm saying? No such a thing in my book as Coke or, I don't know if they make it, but no way would I ever drink a Dr. Pepper Light. If you're going for it, go for it. You know what I'm saying? And there should not be anything, such a thing as Christian light. There's not. You're not going to find it in the Word of God. Somebody's living that way or saying that, something is definitely missing. And something or someone else has taken the place due to God in their hearts. This is going to be a happy message, I promise. But before we get to our happy place, we're going to lay a little bit of a foundation about what we don't want to be full of, okay? 1 John chapter 5, verse 21, out of the Amplified. Little children, keep yourselves from idols, false gods, from anything and everything that would occupy the place in your heart. Read that part with me. Due to God. And listen, go ahead and read the rest. From any sort of substitute for Him that would take first place in your life. Amen. Amen. So be it. So some of you say, "Well, no, I don't have any idols in my life or in my house." Are you sure? Things can slip in and take the place due to Him in our hearts. He alone should rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords on the throne room of our hearts. Nothing or no one else. A good test of this is, what is your first thought or action in the morning? Do you say, good morning, Lord," or, "Good Lord, it's morning"? What do you reach for? Do Do you after your coffee, I understand, you got to have Jehovah Java to wake you up. But what do you reach for? Your Bible or your device? What's first place? Smile back at me. Keep smiling. Can any one of us relate to the fact that things come in and try to crowd out the place due to Him in our lives? And if we're full of other things, guess what? We can't be full of Him. He doesn't want to share the place of honor in our lives with anyone else, no person, or anything else. Amen? Well, I know this for myself, and I know we can all relate. I've been empty. I've been full. Full is better. Amen? With our cars, we have gas tanks. I don't know, with electric cars, they still got to have some sort of a device to say if they're charged or not. With us, we don't always know in our spirit. With your car, you know. You know when it's hitting E and you're a dum-dum not to go fill your car up if it's on E. But in our spirit, we don't always know when we're on E until something puts a demand on us. And then all of a sudden, we realize, I have nothing to give. I have nothing to meet this situation. I'm empty. I'm depleted. Well, with your car, if you're empty or depleted, you might want to take a trip. Maybe you want to go to Disneyland. That's not anywhere I want to go right now. I did that. With years and years with the kids. But anyhow, if you want to go to Disneyland and you're sitting in your driveway and the gas gauge is on E, you can sit there and you can draw pictures of Mickey Mouse. You can look online and see, you know, the little ears and everything about Disneyland. But you're not going to get there on E. You got to put some gas in your tank. Well, God's got some places for us to go. Hallelujah. He's got some adventures for us in the Holy Ghost. And He doesn't want you to just sit and talk about it and think about it. He wants some action. He wants us to go. He wants us to get there. Did you know 2/3 of God's name, at least in our English language, is go. G-O. Go and do what He's called us to do. But we can't do that if we're running on E. There's signposts. There's things that show us. I need to pull aside. I need to fill my tank up. Another thing that will show us if we're on E is we're getting easily agitated and irritated. Uptight, cranky. We don't want to be cranky pants. We want to be full of joy and peace. Amen. Hallelujah. I got another question. Again, you know, we're going to get happy place here. But what are you full of? And I'm not talking about what you ate for breakfast. If you had eggs and bacon and sausage and biscuits and gravy, I'm not asking you that, but if you do eat that every day, we'll probably all know what you're full of. I love it, but I can't eat it every day. That's all I'll say about that. So we're not talking about what you ate for breakfast or what you're going to eat for lunch. I'm talking about what the Bible talks about. What are we full of on the inside? It will show up on the outside. There's a wonderful account over in Mark chapter 4 about the soil of our hearts. It's a parable of the sower sows the Word. Now, I think for sake of time, I'm not going to read all of that, but you might want to. It begins in verse 14, and it talks about the sower sowing the Word and the different kinds of soil that the seed sows upon. And one thing to note, it's the same seed in every scenario. The seed isn't different, but the soil is what makes the difference on how much is produced. And he gives us a list of things that are going to cause us to have zero return on the seed being sown into our hearts. And so I do want to look at verse 19 out of the Amplified. Then the cares, anxieties of the world, and distractions of the age, and the pleasure and delight and false glamour and deceitfulness of riches and craving and passionate desire for other things creep in and choke and suffocate the Word, and it becomes fruitless. Jesus is warning us here, don't be full of the wrong stuff. Distractions of this age. Oh my goodness, we could camp on that, but I don't need to. You know what they are. They pull on all of us. The media, the devices, the things that we hear, the things that we see. These are distractions. Again, this is like true confessions. Have you ever said, okay, I'm going to pray right now. I've got a burden to pray. And you kneel down to pray. And this has happened to me more than once. And I intended to at least put my phone on silence, but I forgot to. And you're right there praying, and all of a sudden, ding. Ooh, who was that? I may have a message. And my big thing is I may have a message from my granddaughter, so I have to look at the phone. Distractions. Again, you know. So we won't go into all of that. Craving and passionate, it says, about things of this world. Desiring other things more than him. And then he said, cares, anxieties, and fear. So easy to take on cares. And it just comes up in my heart right now. There's some people in here that you are carrying the care of your loved ones. A son, a daughter, a grandchild. Yes, we're to stand in faith. We're to stand on the Word. But our simbrita, we cannot change them in our own ability and in our own what we can do. No. So our responsibility is to act on 1 Peter 5:7. You know what it says? Cast all of your cares. And that means family members. Family members that are either not born again or they walked away from the Lord. Take them, put them in your hands and just say, Lord, I cast. Let's do that right now. Whether you're in that situation or not, as an act of faith, any kind of care, any kind of concern, see it right now in your hand and then say, Lord, by faith, say it with me, Lord, by faith, I cast the care either of this person or this situation over upon you. And why can we do that? And how can we do that? Because he cares for us. He cares for us, and he cares for your relative more than you can imagine. And it does not do them And it certainly doesn't do you any good to carry the care and worry about them and stay up at night wondering what they're doing. Well, if they're not serving Jesus, they're not doing anything good. You don't have to wonder. You probably know. But you know what you can do? You can plead the blood of Jesus over them. And you can say, Lord, I thank you for your mercy. And your mercy hovers over them. And your masibrata. And you honor the prayers of your saints. And you're honoring my prayer. And your mercy is hovering over them. And it's keeping them safe. And it's keeping them protected until they come to their senses. And they come back home to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Anybody receive that? That's right from the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Casting our cares over upon Him because He cares for us. And then we're not to be in fear. Fear is a faith robber. Fear feels real. But I heard Joyce Meyer, I believe it was years ago, an acrostic for fear. F, false. E, evidence. A, appearing are real. False evidence appearing real. Most of the things we fear and we worry about never even come to pass. It's a trap. It's a hook of the devil to steal faith out of your heart. We're not going to be in fear. We're standing in faith. I will not fear. I'm not going to fear what the devil tries to do to me. I'm not going to fear what might happen to our nation. No, we're not in fear. We're standing in faith. We believe the glory of the latter house will be greater than of the former. Whatever happens in the natural, our God is greater. And the church of the living God is a glorious church filled with His glory. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're not going to fear. We're not going to let the cares of this life come in and choke the word out of us and drain the life of God out of us. We're going to meditate on the goodness of God. We're going to drink in of the Spirit of the living God. We are complete in Him. All that we need to live victorious lives are found in Him. Can I get a hallelujah? Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, I'm going to come down here closer because I want to make sure. Yeah, Pastor Tom's with me. I can see his eyes. Okay. Just need to make sure. Hallelujah. All that we need. All that we need to live victorious is found in Him. Let's look at some really awesome now. We're going to look at some really wonderful scriptures. Those others were wonderful too. John 1:16. And of His fullness we have all received grace for grace. We're talking about full time. It's time for us to know who we are in Christ Jesus. It's time for us to walk in our rights and in our privileges. Jesus' sacrifice should not be in vain. Thank God His blood that was shed for us bought our redemption. How many of you are glad that you're going to heaven? I'm on my way to heaven singing and shouting the victory. But the redemption that He bought and paid for us is full, complete, spirit, soul, and body. Thank God for salvation. But He wants us to enjoy days of heaven down here on the earth. The torment that He went through completed everything that we need to live overcoming lives. And when we receive that fullness of His completed work. When we have that revelation on the inside of us, it doesn't just affect us. It ought to flow out of us and affect other people. That same passage in the Passion, John 1:16. And from the overflow of His fullness, we receive grace heaped upon grace. Grace heaped upon grace. And I love the term overflow. Overflow means we're filled up to here and there ain't room for nothing else. And when we're filled up to here with His Word and with His Spirit and His goodness, it's going to overflow out of us and affect other people. This is emphasized again in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 through 10, out of the Passion. For He is the complete fullness of deity. I like how it says it here. Living in human form. And our completeness is now found in Him. We are, say these two words with me. We are what? Completely filled. Woo! Completely filled with God as Christ's fullness overflows within us. He's the head of every kingdom and authority in the universe. Completely filled. Full time. Time to be full of Him and nothing else. Woo! His goodness should be overflowing through us. We get so full that out of us flows to other people. People are hurting. People are bound. People are oppressed of the enemy. And how shall they hear unless there's a preacher? So you're looking at me like, I'm not a preacher. Oh, yes, you are. You are Christ's ambassadors. Every one of us have been sent on a mission. And that mission is to bring good tidings, great joy to people that don't know Him. And there are people that have this terrible image of our Father God. This said of His fullness, of His goodness should be flowing out of us. There are people that think God did awful things to them. They think God caused, you know, horrible things to happen to their relatives or happen to them. They have this awful image of God. But you and I know better. Bad things do happen to good people, without a doubt. But we need to get our doctrine straight. Those bad things did not come from our good God. We need to shout it from the rooftops. God is good. And He is good all the time. The Bible says it's the goodness of God that's going to lead people to repentance. We don't go out and try to beat people up and say, you know, you're just a horrible person. You're going to die and go to hell. No, it's better to say, did you know God loves you? Good friend of ours, when he goes out and witnesses, he always starts with, have you heard the good news? That's what the Bible is. That's what the gospel is. It's good news. Hallelujah. And that's what we need to be sharing. It is the goodness of God that will lead people to repentance. Jesus came that we would have and enjoy a good life. John 10:10 in the Amplified. The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that you may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. There's that overflow again. Till it overflows. He came to give us an abundant life, not a redundant life, not a boring, ho-hum, routine life. There's nothing boring about serving Jesus. Hallelujah. Woo! So I looked up that word abundantly out of the word wealth. I love this. Abundantly in Strong's means superabundance, excessive, overflowing, surplus, over and above, more than enough, profuse. And then I love this. Extraordinary, above the ordinary. Hallelujah. Our God is into unusual and unlikely and extraordinary ways to abundantly meet our every need. And when I saw that phrase, above the ordinary, came up to me that God specializes in taking what the world labels ordinary people and doing extraordinary things through them. Hallelujah. God wants to do extraordinary things through each and every one of us. Not just for a few. It's for the people of God that will walk in the Word and stay full of the Spirit. Hallelujah. We got any candidates in here for God to show up and show out and do extraordinary things in your life? Well, as I read that, I began to think about some of the old prophets in the Bible. Old Testament prophets. Some people don't read the Old Testament. I love the Old Testament. Now, I'm not thrilled about Leviticus, but I love to read about the prophets of God. The Bible says they're in there for our example. We can learn from them. Probably one of my favorite prophets is the prophet Elijah. If you study his life, you're going to be blessed. And I don't have time today, but if you want to get some background on where we're going with this, I encourage you to read the entire chapter of 1 Kings 17 and 18. The nation had been given over to Baal worship. And God moved on Elijah. And he said, go tell King Ahab, there's not going to be any rain for 3.5 years. Your disobedience, not worshiping me, is going to cause a major drought in the land. And I find this interesting. The nation had been worshiping Baal. You know what Baal was? He was the god of rain. So it was kind of like God told Elijah, just go tell him, I'm stopping the rain. And there's nothing that big old bad Baal can do about it. He ain't all that. I'm the God of the heavens. I'm the God of the rain. I love that. So Elijah did what God told him to do. And in the midst of a drought and a horrible time, God took care of him. He stayed full spiritually. He stayed full naturally. God sent ravens twice a day with bread and meat to feed the prophet of God. And you know where he was probably, those ravens were probably getting it off of the king's table. Where else in a land where there was a drought was there such good food? I'm sure the king was like, close those windows, close the doors. Those crazy ravens keep coming in here and stealing the food. God's got ways and means to take care of his people. Amen. So that happened, all happened in chapter 17. Then we get to chapter 18 of 1 Kings. Oh, one of my favorite Bible stories. And I don't want to get stuck there because we're going somewhere else. But it's the showdown at the OK Corral. And it was the time when Elijah said, gather all the prophets of Baal. All of them, there were 400 of them. And I'm going to let you go first, cry out to Baal, see if he shows up by fire and lights the altar. Well, we know it all day long, and I love this. He was jeering them. He was taunting them. You ought to read some of the things that he said to them. Bold man of God. And then all of a sudden, he's like, my turn, my turn. And he gets up and he prays a simple little prayer. God, let them know you're the true and the living God. He didn't have to cry. He didn't have to fast. He just knew his God. And God, after he told him, he says, pour water all over the sacrifice, all over the altar, the trenches around, fill them up with water. One simple prayer. Shoop, the fire came down. Burnt up the sacrifice, licked up all the water. You know what, people? You don't have to have your kids be all caught up with superheroes. There's some superheroes in the Bible that did extraordinary things. So this happened. And one, like that, a nation turned back to God in a day. They fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And then Elijah wasn't done. He said, yes, the Lord, he is God, and Baal ain't. And the Bible says he had 400 prophets of Baal killed, wiped out. The land was cleansed. Hallelujah. Well, that's all right. You can say hallelujah because I believe the same thing's going to happen in our nation. God can cleanse our nation. God can remove false religions from our nation. And people that thought they would never call on the name of the Lord our God, you just watch and see. They're going to be falling on their knees, lifting their hands and saying, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. I don't know how, but I know the who. And the who is about to show up and show himself strong. Hallelujah. So Elijah wasn't done. Then the Lord told him, tell Ahab, now that the land is cleansed, rain's going to come. And he says to him, get up, get ready. I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. And it happened just like God said. The rain began to fall. But before that, he told Elijah where to go. He went to get up on top of Mount Carmel and to pray. And the Bible says he outran the king's chariot. The anointing was on him. The Spirit of God was moving within him. And a great victory was won that day. But there is a but. There is a but in this story, and it's found in chapter 19. Again, you know, you should read all of these. I love this. So after he'd had this great victory, and you know what? This part of the story encourages me, because we look at the Old Testament prophets, we look at David, we look at Daniel and the feats that they did, and we look at Elijah and this tremendous feat that happened this day. But you know, the Bible talks about him over in James chapter 5, and it says he was a man. He was just a man, anointed of God to do this feat. But he was also a man subject to discouragement, subject to emotional getting down, which he did. So this all had just happened. And if this account from chapter 17 through 19, if you'll read it in your Bible, it probably all happened within 24 to 48 hours. Up on the mountain, outrunning the king's chariots. And then he gets word. Jezebel. Ooh. Don't name your kid Jezebel, ever. That evil, wicked wife of Ahab. She's the one that had brought Baal worship into the nation. She's the one. Ooh, that was demon possessed. She wasn't at the OK Corral that day. She should have been there. Maybe she's getting her hair and nails done or something. But she wasn't there. And she didn't see what happened. So now she gets word that these 400 prophets are dead. And it's because of Elijah. So of course, you know, he gets the message. Jezebel. Ooh. Evil, wicked Jezebel is coming to kill you. And this time, he didn't seek the Lord. He didn't say, what do you want me to do? How are we going to win this victory today? Instead, the Bible tells us he ran, but not in the strength of God, in his own ability. He wasn't full of the Spirit anymore. He was totally in the flesh. We could get encouragement from this story, don't you think? That we can be, woo, great victory, and then, ooh, counterattack of the devil. It almost always happens. Don't be surprised. But this is what happened. He's running. He's hiding. Let's look at verse 5 of 1 Kings 19. Then as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and he drank and he lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time, touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. Arise and eat. The journey's too great for you to get there in your own natural ability. We do that looking at our abilities, what I have, what I can do. That will limit how far we can go. We need to take the limits off of God. And we need to draw from his strength, from his ability. Stay full of the Spirit of God. And we will be empowered to do things we cannot do in our own natural ability. Amen. So Elijah, he had to partake of what the Lord had provided, so he could do what the Lord was asking him to do. We have to do the same thing. And he obeyed. God had mercy on him. Verse 8. So he arose and he ate and he drank. And he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. That must have been some kind of angel food cake, I'm telling you. 40 days he went in the strength of that. That's symbolic of what we have to do in those times where we've experienced a great victory and then all of a sudden we feel like we've been knocked down. What did he have to do? He had to eat and he had to drink of what God had provided for him. The church has to do the same thing. We have to stay full of the Word of God and full of the Spirit of God. It's not a one-time deal. Continually be feasting on the manna, the Word of God. Continually be drinking in of the Spirit of God. Can y'all hang with me about 5 more minutes? I know I'm going a little long today, but we had a lot of side journeys. Are y'all okay? Our last scripture, Ephesians chapter 5. We'll start at verse 14 out of the Amplified. Therefore, he says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall shine. Make day dawn upon you and give you light. What's he saying here? Be aware. Be alert. When you're asleep, you miss things. When you're living in the dark, you're going to bump into stuff because you can't see where you're going. Verse 15. Look carefully then how you walk. Live purposely and worthily and accurately, not as the unwise and the witless. Some translations say fools. You know, I don't say fool or fools differently, but Pastor was trying to help me. We don't want to be fools. We want to be fool. Amen? Okay. So anyhow, some translations use that word. Don't be a fool. We're living full, but we're not fools anyway. I know it sounds exactly the same, whatever, but you know, we're to live with purpose, not to be clueless. Know who we are and where we're going. Verse 16, making the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity because the days are evil. Can I get an amen about that? We know that's true. But he says buying up the opportunities. What kind of opportunities is this talking about? Buy up every opportunity you can to get to church. Be with like-minded people. Stay around those that will stir you up, ignite you, and keep you full. When we're full of the Spirit, we're going to catch things that other people are going to miss. Verse 17. Therefore, do not be vague and thoughtless. Boy, he's saying it again. Oh, here's that word. And foolish. But understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is. People say all the time, I just want to know God's will. What's God's will? What's God's will? Well, the answer is coming right up. Verse 18, this really is part of the answer. Because if we do this, we're going to know some things because our spirit's full. And when we're full, we hear clear. Do not be drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. I'm not going to settle down on that, but the word speaks for itself. But ever be filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit. Don't judge me. I'm thankful, but I have never been drunk on alcohol. Ever, ever, ever. I've never even probably tasted it. Maybe accidentally in some dish where they poured a bunch on top of it. But anyhow. But I do know this. If a drunk wants to stay drunk, what do they got to do? I'm not calling any names, but we may have some experts in the crowd that could answer that. Some of you are like, I can tell you about it. No, no, no. If that's true of alcohol, how much more is it true of God's new wine? That other stuff is a counterfeit. It's a fake. It's a substitute. You and I, we got the real. We got God's new wine. And it's so fine. It's so fine. God's new wine. And our attitude ought to be just one dose is not enough. He actually said, be being filled, which denotes continuous drinking in. Things come at us. Things happen in our lives that cause us to be drained and cause us to leak. And that is why we have to be being filled. And that is how we stay full all the time. I rest my case. Let's all stand. Hallelujah.